it was a pretty awesome moment to see both sides get around him, and pretty touching tribute.
Yeah, I heard a saying during the week, it might have been Kenny, you know, said rugby league's like an inbred family. We're always fighting with each other and having a go at each other, but as soon as someone turns on one of ours or one of ours are in need, then we circle the wagons and go into battle. And to see what South and the Broncos did was something special.
It's Origin week, Steve. Can the Blues wrap it up this week? What else have we got today?
Mate, we talk about a couple of upsets from the weekend, especially your blue and gold Parramatta Eels getting the win.
Yeah, it's always a good win. And we can't go on a sports podcast and not mention the mighty Socceroos yesterday too. What a performance against the odds. Mate, unbelievable. Still shaking my head, just can't believe it, but fantastic result. All right, let's get to the main game, which is the footy Origin. Is it just me or has it been a bit quiet in Origin world? It's just talking a bit about injury updates and kind of, you know, it's the same old, but there hasn't been too much hype around it, has there?
No, it's been very quiet this time around. I don't know whether it's because it's down at the MCG or both the teams are a little bit too cautious about giving the other one fuel. Like we've seen at the World Cup with a few countries, but it's been a very quiet build-up, mate. And we're only, as we record, 48 hours away from kickoff. So I was surprised by that, truth be told. I thought there'd be a little bit in it, especially with a couple of changes that they've made. You know, the Payne Haas, as an example, coming into the side, and obviously Reece Walsh for Melbourne, but it all revolves around the injuries, you know, Moses and then Casey McLean as well has really been the only news we've heard from either camp.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully that's no news as good news for the Blues, but I saw Moses interviewed today and he's saying, I've been good the whole time. It's never been a problem. It's kind of given me some confidence because as much as we weren't fantastic, we've got a really good record with him in the team. And last time these two played in the halves together in Origin, we won it quite comfortably. I think it was 18-6 in the end. So provided we hang on to the ball, we should be good.
Yeah, that's the big one, obviously, for New South Wales will be the opening 20 minutes. So I still think there'll be some tinkering with the starting pack. I don't think they're going to go with that. We'll obviously wait and see, but I can see a few changes coming to that starting pack just to try to make sure that we get off to the best possible start. This first 20 minutes is going to be monstrous for New South Wales. We've missed the jump consistently over the last couple of years, and it's always seemed to be playing catch-up football, which is very hard to do in Origin at the best of times. And then, obviously, with the Melbourne weather, even if it isn't raining, it'll be a little bit dewy. There'll be a little bit of moisture on the grass. So trying to play catch-up footy will be really difficult. So they've really got to get off to a good start. I can't see it being worse than game one for New South Wales. Those errors, while, you know, Queensland did a sensational job putting pressure on New South Wales to cause the errors, those areas are just really uncharacteristic. So looking forward to seeing that New South Wales can turn around in that first 20, 25 minutes and see what damage they can do for a change.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a really good record down there. Actually, I can't remember the last time that Queensland won in Melbourne. I'm pretty sure it might have been when I was there at when it was at the Telstra Dome. It's probably going back 10 years maybe, but I might have that wrong, but I know you do have a good record down there. It's quite similar to conditions to Sydney. Like you said, dewy, bit skiddy. We just got to score early and then shut it down, I think. I think you're right. They'll change the starting lineup, get a bit more mobility in there at the start. What do you think on the changes? To me, it's losing Case McLean's obviously not ideal, but Kohler goes on to his preferred position. And there's a bit of X factor with Mark. He offers plenty with the ball, particularly in the air. He is known for the odd error, though.
Yeah, he is. There's no question about that. But he's a big body. He's really works hard out of his own half. So that'll be a big plus for them, especially early. He's very quick, obviously, with the ball. So they'll be looking at him do a lot of work. I probably like that side a little bit better. You know, we mentioned Crichton had clearly been playing for an injury for some time now and wasn't at his best. So I probably like the look of Marky Mark on the wing and Kohler in the centres. That left side for me is going to be where it's at for New South Wales. Both wingers and both second rowers are traditionally right side players. So regardless of who they do move out there, whether it's Hudson Young or Dylan Lucas in the back row, and then Tuo and Marky Mark, whoever they do go out there isn't traditionally on that left. And then we put that in with Mitchell Moses defending on that left side as well, who is definitely under an injury cloud, and they'll certainly be targeting them. So for me, they're the two big ones: a quick start for New South Wales, and then how they defend on that left edge will be a big one. Especially Robert Toyah coming at them. He was very strong in that first game, so they'll be testing that that side of the field straight away. Queensland for mine.
Yeah, absolutely. What about Queensland, mate? Business as usual. They've got Reece Walsh there on the bench, who adds an extra dimension. But you heard any talk up there about possible changes?
No, word is with Walsh is that he will come on and play. He's not there as a fill-in. He's not there in case Ponga gets injured or there's anything that occurs like last game. They've got a specific plan for him. I'd love to know what it is pre-kickoff, like I'm sure a lot of New South Welshmen would. They've got a plan to use him. If they don't, it'll be one of the better smoke and mirror shows I've ever seen. So that'll be interesting. Obviously, through the middle, we saw the damage New South Wales's quicker, lighter middle forwards had. So you can only imagine Walsh and Ponga really pushing through the middle, playing together in tandem, could cause all sorts of havoc. I don't see too many changes with the Queensland pack because I think they made the changes that they need to. I think bringing Cotter from an edge and pushing him back into the middle at 13, I think, is a good play. Mm-hmm. And then that allows Plath just to be a little bit fresher, takes the sting out of the game for that first 20. And then hopefully Queensland will be hoping that he can match Radley and Murray, with the understanding that they don't start at the moment, which could quite possibly happen with Murray. So I actually like both sides better than I did in game one and can see improvements in both sides. So interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting what you said about Walsh. In attack, that sounds fantastic, but it'd be interesting to see where they'd have him defending, because it would, to me, it'd be crazy to put him defending at fullback and change the whole makeup of the side defensively and then have to put Ponga in the line. But if Walsh is going to defend in the line, there's no denying his toughness, but he has been found wanting fitness wise at times when on the defensive end,
yep,
trying to get from side to side. You would think that they'd be throwing big bodies at him through the middle. That could be interesting in itself.
Yeah, it will. Ponga defended in the middle in one of his very early Origin games and did quite well. But to your point, whoever or however they pull that off in defence, they're certainly going to be a target for them. I can't see them changing the edges. I can't see them having, Ponga defending next to a half or a 5-8. So I can see that Ponga's probably going to have to defend in the middle. But to your point, he won't want to be tackling Payne Haas and Fanua Blake all night long, because then that defeats the purpose and it takes a lot of sting out of the out of his attack. So, yeah, look, a lot to play out, and it's an exciting cat-and-mouse game at the moment. Still a little bit concerned about New South Wales not having a genuine edge forward on the bench. There's been a lot made of Olakau'atu being, basically dropped and moved to the number 20. Their plan will be Murray or Radley to go to an edge if need be. But I get worried about that. They had such a huge impact. And then even the word that Ethan Strange will get on and they'll play him at 6 or 13, well, unless there's an injury with Moses, I don't see the point of bringing him on at 6. So there's still a lot of confusion there for me. That is my big worry with New South Wales.
Do they play Strange on the edge if they need to give someone a rest or if there's an injury?
Yeah, look, potentially. That is only one in from how he's defending currently. And he is used to playing on that left side. So, look, potentially, and he's certainly a big enough body. I do just get worried about it. Obviously, Hudson Young's the season campaigner. They're expecting 80 minutes out of him without injury. And then if we're led to believe the media, Ola Kawatu was dropped because of his effort areas and wasn't quite up to that 80 minutes. And Dylan Lucas plays big minutes for Newcastle. So they'll be expecting them to play 80, but Origin throws up a lot of curveballs, as we've seen time in, time out. So, yeah, look, potentially Ethan Strange could be one there that they use in a pinch, no question. He's certainly a big enough body, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get to the round of NRL that we saw. What a moment on Thursday night. The
Jai Arrow.
Jai Arrow tribute. Apart from the poor bloke, the minute they pan to the tunnel and he's emotional and he's got half of his nose running down there, he could see the funny side of it. But his poor missus just looked like she was struggling with the emotion of it, and she did not laugh with him. But it was a pretty awesome moment to see both sides get around him, and pretty touching tribute.
Yeah, I heard a saying during the week, it might have been Kenny, said rugby league's like an inbred family. We're always fighting with each other and having a go at each other. But as soon as someone turns on one of ours or one of ours are in need, then we circle the wagons and go into battle. And to see what South and the Broncos did was something special. It certainly was. The jersey that South, we spoke about that last week, the jersey they put out, the pre-game ceremony, for use of a better word, was just special. The whole night was something to remember. The crowd and the players, the players certainly turned it on. South especially, I thought that was Walker's best game for a number of years, and you could tell that there was a lot of emotion in the performance for him.
Yeah, now he's usually an emotional fella, but what I noticed is just how calm he was. He obviously had a really clear goal that he wanted to do it for one of his really close mates. Yep. And he was all smiles before the game, and it was a really calm, measured, and just dominant performance with the ball. They looked like they were up for it. They obviously had plenty of motivation, but then there's one thing to be all fired up after the first 5-10 minutes, but emotion only goes so far. But they were there for the fight the whole time.
Yep.
How much was that South Sydney dominance, and how much was it just how bad the Bronx seemed to be going?
Yeah. I think probably a little bit of both buckets. That was South's probably best performance all season without Latrell, and led by Walker, as you said. So I thought they were really strong and really good. But the Broncos are just right now, they don't have answers. Admittedly, they were missing some really key players. They weren't missing a lot of players. It wasn't the traditional 6-7 Origin players out for the Broncos this year. But the ones they were missing, with Haas and Carrigan especially, with Carrigan's injury and then Staggs, just they were up against it from the get-go, and you could just feel it, the overwhelming emotion of the night for South. They were just far too strong for them. Broncos just don't have answers right now. It's one thing to say that they're getting their players back, but we've spoken about the uphill battle they've got with basically running out of time, running out of games to win. South were simply too strong for them, mate.
Yeah, well too strong.
Yeah.
We've talked about this for a few weeks now. It does look like it's heading down that same path that a lot of Maguire's teams have gone after having success. Yes, they've had injuries, but they've still got an incredible lineup that they put out there each and every week. It's not even the fact that they're getting beaten. It's the manner in the losses. Like they're just not competing like they competed from the back end of from about the same point that we talked about 3 weeks ago for the rest of the year. They're just not in the fight, and that's quite staggering to see.
Yeah. Yeah, you're spot on, mate. And obviously there were some injuries. Reynolds had some, what they were calling cramps at the time. And then Ezra Mann basically couldn't pass the ball for the last, you know, 10, 15 minutes. You know, the few of the old boys are starting to turn on a few of the players. You know, there's a few calls for Ben Hunt not to continue to play on and for him to retire. So it's just everyone right now is just, I bet they feel like they're up against it everywhere they turn and there's no solutions for them. So, yeah, it doesn't get any easier for the draw they've got. But they need to change something real quick. Obviously, Payne Haas won't be there next year, so that doesn't make it any easier for them going into next season. Because I think this one, as we predicted a couple of weeks ago, this season slipped by them, mate.
Yeah, I think you're right. Alex Johnson just keeps scoring tries. He just has, like they said in the commentary, an uncanny knack of just being in the right place at the right time. His positioning game's so good. And, yeah, he just knows his way to the line. That record's going to be quite significant once he retires, because he's still got a few years left of contract with at least 2028 with the Chiefs. So, yeah, it might be a fair target for people to track down by the time he's done.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, mate.
All right, the Dolphins. Now, we've been pretty big on the Dolphins all year. They are on a six-game or seven-game streak now. I was reading today that the two losses previous to that were really close-fought games against the Panthers and the Warriors, and they were down on troops then and yet were in the contest for both of those games. They are suddenly looking like a genuine premiership threat that everyone expected, that most people expected them to be. But it's just the class that they show. They have the ability to dominate in so many different ways. They've got so many threats.
Yeah, they have been, mate. With six Origin players out, we looked through that team list last episode and were still super impressed with who they had available. And those six Origin players are just going to continue to grow with the experience they get being in camp. They were super impressive. You know, if there was a knock on the Dolphins last year, it was their defense. They're now got the fourth best defense in the competition for points scored against them. And they're points four. They're the second in the comp, only behind the Panthers. So they're doing well both sides of the ball now. You know, so that improvement from last year was huge. And they're starting to get word out from other teams that when you play against the Dolphins, that they're super fit. And they're very, very hard to contain. So, look, they're going to be thereabouts at the end. I think, you know, as predicted, obviously Penrith is certainly going to finish in the top two. If we think the Warriors are, it's going to be hard going for the Dolphins. They're going to have to go to New Zealand or come down to Sydney and play one of the big guns in the semis. But if they can grab third or fourth spot with the team they've got, I don't think anything's out of the question. They're going to continue to gain experience, and that Katoa, even just being in camp for Origin 2, is going to certainly help him for a few days as well, as a bit of a shadow there. So, yeah, they've got sky's the limit for the Dolphins.
Yeah, 100%. Just looking at the table, it is good to see, apart from the Panthers who are there again, a host of teams that haven't featured not consistently for the last 5-10 years, and a top four with Warriors, Seagulls and Dolphins at 2, 3, 4. It's refreshing. We've got the Knights in the eight as well. It's a real changing of the guard, and you, even if you look at what's following on after that, we've got the Cowboys and the Tigers. Yeah, it's a whole new look, and I like it. It's what we want to see. We want now to believe that all of our teams are a possibility at the start of the year, and we're starting to see this actually play out. It's good.
Yeah, well, if you think going into the second Origin game that last year's top four, Storm, Bulldogs, Raiders, Broncos, are running 11th to 14th, you would have lost all the money you had because no one would have backed that. So to your point, it's really good to see. Obviously, Penrith and Warriors have been thereabouts, and as have the Sharks and the Roosters at different times, but it will be a number of different sides in the top four and the top eight this year. So, and that'll be the big talking point coming out of Origin. You know, a lot of the buys will have been had. We'll get a bit fairer idea of where everyone sits in another 2 or 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, a team that we keep saying every week which version of them will turn up. The Sharkies, good performance. Was it Adam Pompey that kicked that goal on the final hooter? Not only did it cost me a perfect round of the tipping, but it also cost me the knockout, so I go out first round again. Oh, happy days! But but again, the Warriors were right in the fight with plenty missing, and the interesting thing that I heard talked about today is that the Sharks actually look quite good without Nicho Hynes. With Puru there, who's on a small fraction of the contract that Nico's on. Interesting times if they think that that's the direction they're going to head.
Yeah, it is. The win rate without Nicho is extremely high for the Sharks, and there's always been the talk that Trindle and Nicho can't be in the same side as each other. It needs to be one or the other. So that'll be a decision the Sharks have to make. But going over to Auckland and grabbing the 2 points, even without a couple of the middle forwards Warriors were missing, is a huge effort from Cronulla. They were down Fenua, Blake, Brayley, Nicho themselves, and for them to do that was huge. Obviously, the controversy around the penalty on the dropout, you don't see Webster have a bad word about anyone, so you knew it was serious when he had a dip. That's just unacceptable, and once again, a show of unprofessionalism by the referees. Look, a professional NRL side will say that, you know, they should have got the win regardless of that, but they shouldn't have to deal with it. You know, that wasn't acceptable, and it needs to never occur again. Hopefully both sides take a bit out of it. This was an old school game. The defense was really impressive. So I wouldn't, lose too much out of it from the Warriors. It'll hurt them. I can't see them catching the Panthers. Not that there's much difference between one and two on the ladder, but I can't see them catching the Panthers now. So outside of that, though, I can't see much negative coming from this loss. I think they'll take a lot out of it. They were missing a few of their forwards, which certainly didn't help. But quite a good performance from the Sharks. They certainly earned the 2 points, and that's a big one for them. That pushes them up to five. 8 wins, 5 losses. Starting to get into that edge of that top four territory where they can start to cause a few dramas at the back end.
Yeah, absolutely. And the table's so tight that if you string a few wins together, that's what's possible. And we've talked about their consistency all year. They're going on a bit of a run now. Tricky Trindle, he certainly stepped up. That was a cracking field goal when we've seen other teams not get organised and get their shit together. When they need that 1 point, he just ran them to exactly where he wanted them, and then he just calmly popped the field goal over. He did give away a penalty straight after that, nearly cost them the game. But he's certainly improving every week and starting to find some of that consistency that was a bit of a knock on him the last few years. So they're tracking all right, the Sharkies. So as always, we're out there for the Parry game. Now, talking about refereeing decisions, for the life of me, I can't understand the Kelma Tuolungi try being given. Like, everyone at the ground when we saw the replay, we've all, hands to head going, oh, there's no way that's a try. And just absolute disbelief when they give it. Now, to me, that's one of those ones that you think I always look at it this way. For 100 years, that wasn't a try. But now we're finding ways to give things that just don't look like a try. I haven't gone back and watched the replay and slowed it down, but it just didn't look good from my perspective. I don't know what you saw.
No, I'm with you, mate. It was exactly the same. Obviously, I didn't have as much skin in the game as you did, and I'm sure you, while you would have been confused, would have been very happy when you got the green try sign. look, for my mate, the video referee is what it is, mate. They go out of their way sometimes to find something not to give it a try, and then other times they go out of the way to find a reason to give a try. So it's confusing, mate. It's Groundhog Day, right? So, for mine, I thought the better team won regardless. Canberra's another team that we've spoken about, a few others. They just haven't put it together this year. It's as simple as that. You know, you talk about the Bulldogs and the Broncos as examples. Well, the Raiders are right there next to them. They just haven't been able to string those consistent performances together. Sure, they were missing Hudson Young. They were missing Strange. And Strange is a big one for him. He really straightens up their attack. You know, we saw that when he missed the semifinals last year. He's really important for them. That being said, they should have beaten Parramatta. With the side Parramatta put out in the park, they were missing a number of their stars as well. So Canberra should have had this and should have had the 2 points. And as I said, we'll talk more about it after Origin, but I think this puts a line through Canberra as well. I can't see a 5-9 Canberra side with the way they're playing at the moment, more importantly, getting there from here. They do have a little bit of a softer draw compared to the Broncos, no question, but they're just not playing well enough anyway, regardless of how soft their draw is. So I think the para loss might really be a red mark through the Raiders for mine for 2026.
Yeah, I'm with you, because their attack that just so dynamic just didn't show that. What was really pleasing from a para perspective is that for the first half, we had to defend our line for long periods. So we did back-to-back sets three sets in a row at one point and managed to keep them out. So that was really pleasing. And a couple of the old timers, Jack Williams and Jack DeBellin, who again I was bagging at the start of the year, he's been really good for us. And they're starting to build something. A couple of young forwards coming through. It's just a shame that this is a bit too little too late. Maybe they suffered because they didn't have the best draw at the start of the year, and so they didn't get to bank a few wins against the lower teams. But at least what we're seeing is these young guys are now going to have between 30 to 50 games by the time next season rocks around. And it's the form of Ron Volkman also. It's making even more of a mockery of the decision to sign Pezzett for 1 year. So, good signs despite the fact that we're still propping up the bottom of the ladder. But as the troops start coming back in the next few weeks, maybe we can make a bit of a climb and at least finish in a respectable position. Jerome Luai. We talked about it last week, saying since he signed with the Chiefs, they've been dreadful. They weren't fantastic. They've still got a few guys out as well, but he certainly took it personally and made sure they got the result yesterday.
Yeah, sensational performance. We spoke about Walker from South earlier. Jerome was just as good. You know, you've got to be questioning, if you're a Tigers fan, where that's been the last sort of 6 weeks. To your point, you know, we've been big on Dewey and Twal being out. I think they're very, very underrated players, and both could have well been playing for the New South Wales Blues this week if they had been fully fit. But I would have expected Jerome Luai to still be that leader that they're all expecting. You know, that he wanted to be Batman when he went to the Tigers, and he's certainly been Robin for huge chunks of this season. But there was no mistaking what he did for the West Tigers on the weekend. He just was cool, calm and collected. And then when the time needed it, he just put his foot down and went straight through. So his running game was really impressive, and that's what you want from him, right? You want him to be that leader. You want him to take the game by the scruff of the neck. He's a different player to Cleary, getting the team around the park. He's a runner. He's a leader. So hopefully for Tigers fans, we can continue to see some of those performances.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you talked about draws before. They've got plenty of teams below them on the ladder that they still have to play, and then other guys sort of towards the bottom of the eight. They obviously got some tough games in that draw as well. That's just a given. That's just the NRL. But they've got the Knights, who they fancy their chances, Dragons, Dogs, Raiders, Eels, Dragons again, Cowboys. There's plenty of games there that they would fancy that they should win. They're only a win from third, and two wins from second. So that they could well go on a charge here and go, well, I'm not going to call it, because I've been stopping freight trains lately. Like, I call the Raiders, maybe they'll go on a bit of a run now, and they haven't won anything since. Yeah. So I'll spare the Tigers fans that.
Certainly. Certainly for and against is going to come into it like it does always, and the Tigers at the moment being negative 70 is going to hurt them at the back end. But with some of those games, there's no question fully fit, they can rack up some points. So they'll be looking, to your point, a couple of games against the beloved Dragons. Hopefully the Dragons are continuing to improve and aren't easy beats, but they'll be looking for some big scores back into the season. So if they can get a fully fit side on the park, there's still certainly a chance to jump into that seventh or eighth spot, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. That 68-0 might be what costs them in the end. But they're only minus 70. They with that draw, there's every chance they can climb back up there with their four and against. And those teams towards the bottom of the eight, they're not miles ahead of them. There's a couple of teams only on 30-odd, cows on minus 13 themselves. So plenty to play for. I think they should go well. Did you see the story? That real young kid pictured after his first game and the Tigers got beaten, he's crying, and so the Tigers went, oh well, you know, we need to make it up for you, and they took him to the Panthers game.
Yeah,
he got absolutely hammered. So this
he ran onto the field with them and all, and they got absolutely annihilated. So apparently he grew up watching the Benji Marshall grand final win, and he thought that was how they played every week. That game was the first time they'd seen him lose. So, yeah, poor fella. Big shout-out to Keanu Kimmy in that game. The second week in a row now he's been absolutely dynamic. He was up over 300 metres, and at one stage it looked like he'd gotten the Titans over the line with the way he played. But the Tigers showed plenty of grit, which had been missing in years gone by. So as good as Keanu Kimmy was, unfortunately for the Titans, it's another loss for them.
Yeah, it is, but I think they're another team that's tracking in the right direction, because it's not a list you would expect to be going any better than they are. No. But they are improving, and there are different times during that game yesterday where you're like, oh, they're going to run away with this, and then only for them to take their foot off the pedal and for the Tigers to show a bit of class. So, that you would hope that they will be on the improve again next year. Power rankings, mate. What have we got?
Power rankings. So obviously a split round with six teams, seven teams on the bye, but Gagan's gone with the Panthers at one. The Warriors have held on to a second, even though they had that tight loss to the Sharks. Manly three. The Dolphins had jumped up into fourth after that impressive performance, and the Roosters round out fifth spot for the power rankings this week.
Yeah, that's about right, but the Roosters are going to want to show something this week, or they will find themselves slipping out the back door, but that top four looks pretty well solidified there. Not only on the table, but the power rankings as well. They are certainly four teams at the moment.
Yeah, spot on, mate. The Roosters have got a massive one, 5-6 against the Sharks. It's Sunday afternoon, 6 p.m., so it's as long a game as rest period as possible for their seven Origin stars. So I'd expect in such a big and important game that they'll all back up barring injury, and you would hope the same for the Sharks. For Neil Blake, he's obviously going to play decent minutes, but he's not going to be out there forever. So that should be an absolute ripping game next Sunday that I'm sure we'll talk about on Thursday's episode, mate.
Yep, absolutely. We did hope to have Will here tonight. He's had some tech issues today, so we'll get him back next week. We got good feedback from the fans that they really liked that addition to the show, so we'll make sure we get him back next week. We've also got our first fan locked in for next week's preview show, so looking forward to that. Roosters fans, make sure you tune in, and we'll be back on Thursday to review what is hopefully a mighty win for the New South Wales Blues, and we'll have a bit of a look at the weekend's games as well.
Yeah, good luck to the Blues fans.
Yep, we'll need it.